is spreading out his inheritance among his children. If you go, we'll dismiss the kids here. If I could have the kids stand up, please. All the kids, we have Kids Life. That's kids living in faith every day. Hallelujah. We love our kids, and our kids love us. Amen. Father, we just pray over our teachers and our kids today. Lord, we thank you that you would speak through them by your Holy Spirit. Fill them up with revelation and the knowledge of you. Lord, just cause them to listen, cause them to grow, and give them a divine impartation and grace deposit. Lord, we pray that our class will go smoothly. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. Well, all the kids will go upstairs. Yeah, you guys go in the upper room. Hallelujah. I just want to share with you some phrases of wisdom, but these phrases are not necessarily the thoughts of your pastor. Age is a very high price to pay for maturity. These are just phrases of wisdom. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to a garage makes you a mechanic. My idea of housework is to sweep the room with a glance. Words of wisdom. For every action, there is an equal and opposite government program. If you look like your passport picture, you probably need the trip. I like that one. Bills travel through the mail twice the speed of checks. Men are from earth, women are from earth. Deal with it. A balanced diet is a cookie in each hand. I like that one too. Middle age is when the broadness of the mind and the narrowness of the waist change places. Junk is something you've kept for years and throw it away 3 weeks before you need it. Experience is a wonderful thing. It enables you to recognize a mistake when you make it again. And one more. Blessed are they who can laugh at themselves, for they shall never cease to be amused. Words of wisdom. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to go to Genesis chapter 14. Before we get into, we have a message before the message. Amen. And Genesis chapter 14, this is in the days of Abraham. In verse 8, the Bible says, then the kings of Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah went out together. They joined battle with the kings in the valley of Siddim, with the kings of Chedorlaomer of Elam, anyway, you know their names. Sometimes you just have to skip over some things, amen? Well, verse 11, they took all the wealth of Sodom and Gomorrah and all the supply of provisions and departed. In verse 12, they also took Lot, Abram's brother, son who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods away with him. What do you do when the devil messes with your stuff? Amen? Now, someone escaped and they told Abram. And now verse 14. When Abram heard that his nephew had been captured, he armed the 318 servants born in his house and pursued the enemy as far as Dan. Well, when the devil messes with your stuff, you take up arms. You don't just sit down and say, okay, devil, you can have that. No. When Abram heard this news, he armed his 318 servants born in his house. So he had a corporation of 318 employees. Okay? Verse 15. He divided his forces against them by night and his servants and attacked and rounded them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. He brought back all. Everybody say he brought back all. The goods, and also brought back his kinsman Lot and his possessions, the women also, and the people. So nothing was lost. So you can either sit back and let the devil take from you, or you can go after it and get it. And then verse 17, after his return from the defeat and slaying of Chedorlaomer, having trouble with those names today, and the kings who were with him, verse 18, Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He had communion. He was the priest of the Most High God. Now we know that Melchizedek in Hebrews has no mother, no father, no beginning, no end. So this was the Lord Jesus. Because isn't Jesus our high priest? Verse 19, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram by God Most High, possessor and maker of heaven and earth, and blessed, praised, and glorified be God Most High, who has given you your foes into your hand. Say, he's given me my foes into my hand. And Abram gave him a tenth of all that he had taken. And the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the persons and keep the goods for yourself. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hand and sworn to the Lord God Most High, the possessor and maker of heaven and earth, that I would not take a thread or a shoelace or anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abram rich. Take all except only what the young men have eaten, and share the share of the men who went with me. Let them take their portion. So Abram had some stuff taken from him. And what he did was he took up arms. He armed his servants. He went after it. He got his stuff back. And when he brought all of his stuff back, he had increase. And on that increase, there was no law, but there was a relationship that he had with God. He knew the voice of God. He knew the hand of God. He knew the blessing of God. And he was compelled to give God a portion, a tenth, or a tithe. And he gave a tithe of all. Because if you read back in chapter 13, verse 1, Abraham was very rich in cattle and sheep and goats and camels and flocks and servants. But if you go back to verse 12, or to chapter 12, that's when God spoke to Abraham. He said, I want you to leave your country, leave your father's house, and go to a place where I told you. He sowed his life into the kingdom. And we see God's blessing him all throughout his life. And he gave God a tenth. He gave God a tithe. So I just want to encourage you that the tithe is the Lord's, and anything above and beyond the tithe is considered an offering. And when you give that to God, he will certainly give it back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. He'll cause men to give into your bosom. You may not know how, you may not know when, but God will always do it again and again and again. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, if you have your Bibles today, I'd like you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. Each month, we emphasize a theme here in our church. In the month of March, we are emphasizing the precious blood of Jesus. That is what we're emphasizing this whole month. And we're preparing to celebrate the greatest victory over all, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And but you know, before there was a resurrection, there was blood. And before there was an outpouring of the Spirit, there was an outpouring of blood. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? The blood had to be shed. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. The Bible says this, and I'm reading from the Amplified. You must know. Everybody say, I must know. What must you know? You must know that you were redeemed from useless or fruitless way of living inherited by tradition from your fathers. Not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but you were purchased with the precious blood of Christ, the Messiah, like that of a sacrificial lamb without blemish or spot. So you were purchased, not with something that is corruptible or something of this world, but something that has more value than we can comprehend. You were bought, you were redeemed, you were purchased with the precious blood of Jesus. Say, I'm bought. You know, everybody has their price, right? Well, the price for the world was the blood of a spotless lamb. And Jesus came and he shed his blood. And we talked about last week, we talked about some truths about the blood of Christ or the benefits that the blood gives us. And I'm just going to go over these quickly and then we'll get into the message today. Number one, the blood removes all stains of sin. It cleanses you. It makes you whole. It wipes away every stench, every stain that sin brings with it. The blood of Jesus Christ, it cleanses you. Amen? It's like Tide in the laundry. It gets out the stains. You know, soap is no good in the box, is it? If you were just to set a box of soap or a bottle of soap near the washing machine, your clothes aren't going to get as clean as they could. You got to get the soap out of the box. Number two, the blood brings peace and harmony with God. Only the blood of Christ, the blood of the cross, can bring peace with God. It nullifies God's wrath. It gives you access to God. It allows you to have communion with God. The blood of Christ, it gives you peace with God. It brings you into His presence. Number three, the blood gives you confidence to enter God's presence. You know, if you were going to visit the President of the United States, you should have some sort of confidence in yourself. After all, you have a meeting with the president. What would you do if the president was going to come to your house next week? Would you make any changes? Well, you'd have to, because the Secret Service would be there way ahead, preparing the way for him to come. So the blood of Christ, it gives us confidence to come into God's very presence. It gives you confidence to walk into the Holy of Holies, to approach God's throne, and to converse with the Almighty. The blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross brings confidence. It makes you believe in who you are and who He is. And then the blood brings you near to God. And I just realized that I was reading from today's notes and not last week's. But it's good anyway, amen? So the blood redeems you. The blood purchased the church. The blood purges your conscience from dead works. The blood releases you from sin. The blood removes all stains of sin. And it gives you confidence to enter into God. Let's go with me to 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. We're going to pick up with this today about the cleansing power of the blood. 'Whether you like it or not, the church that Jesus Christ came to set up is a blood-bought church. It was established in the shed blood of Jesus, our Savior. If He hadn't shed His blood, we'd still be in a mess of sin. But thank God He did shed His blood. 1 John 1, 7 says this. But if we really are living and walking in the light as he is in the light, we have true and unbroken fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us. Everybody say, it cleanses me. What does it cleanse us from? All sin and guilt, and keeps us cleansed from sin in all its forms and manifestations. See, what happens when sin operates? It is the most destructive force that has ever come on this earth. When did it come? It came when Adam sinned against God, when he rebelled and did what God said, don't do. The Bible says in Romans 5, it says, sin brought death, and it fell to all mankind. And sin is destructive. See, I'm going to do a demonstration. May I borrow you for a demonstration? See, now this is my wife. Yes. We have fellowship, okay? This is how it was in the garden. God was just hanging out with Adam, and they were talking, and they were fellowshipping together. But then all of a sudden, man sinned. And now their fellowship was broken. And man couldn't get to God, and God couldn't get to man, because there was a barrier that rose up called sin. And it separated us from the life of God. It separated us from the power of God. Thank you very much. And sin broke fellowship. It destroys relationships. Sin is like a cancer to the soul. If it gets in, it'll grow and it'll become more and more destructive until it takes over your life. But thank God that the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son, cleanses us from all sin. It has power to wipe away the effects of sin. It has power to stop the destroyer in its tracks. God hates sin. Sin broke God's heart. Sin is destructive. But thank God for the blood. Because the blood's power far outweighs the power of sin. So the blood removes all stains of sin in our life. It cleanses us. And when we're clean, we can have fellowship. We can have communion. We can have intimacy. But we need to be cleansed in order to do that, to have true fellowship. You need to be clean. You need to wipe away the sinful nature, because the sinful nature is a slave master. It's a harsh ruler. It'll cause you to go where you didn't want to go. It'll make you pay more than you wanted to pay. It'll lead you to a dead end. And it'll lead you down a dead end road, and it'll hit you in the head for going down there. But thank God, there is blood. Not only does it clean us, but it has the power to keep us clean. How many has ever seen a fountain where the water just keeps shooting up? Okay? As long as the power is turned on, that water keeps going. Well, the blood is just like that. With its power, it just keeps going and going and going, because the power of the blood, it doesn't diminish, it doesn't decrease, it is still just as powerful as it was when Jesus shed it on Calvary. It's still powerful today as it was then. It has never lost its power. Why? Because the blood is eternal. Let me read something to you from Andrew Murray's book, The Blood of the Cross. And he really defined what is eternal. When, this is what he says, when the blood was shed, it could not decay as a dead thing, but as a living reality, it could be taken up to heaven to exercise its divine power from there. So when Jesus shed his blood, that wasn't the end. That was just the beginning. This is what he says about eternal, something that is eternal. We tend to think of it as something that always continues, something that has no end. But there's more to it. He says, everything that exists in time has a beginning and is subject to the law of increase and decrease, of becoming and decaying. What is eternal has no beginning, knows no change or weakening, because it has in itself a life that is independent of time. Woo! The blood has a life in it that is independent of time. It is eternal. It is through, because the blood is eternal, it has a power of an endless life at work. There can be no change. It can suffer no decrease. Therefore, we may always enjoy it in the fullness of its life, bestowing blessings. That's powerful. This is the blood that we're talking about. Amen? Go with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, 19. Hebrews 10, 19. The Bible says this: therefore, brethren, since we have full freedom and confidence to enter into the Holy of Holies by the power and virtue in the blood of Jesus, by this fresh and new and living way, which he initiated and dedicated and opened for us through the separating curtain of the Holy of Holies, that is, through his flesh. See now, under the days of the Old Covenant, only one person could enter into the Holy of Holies one time each year. On the Day of Atonement, only the high priest could enter into the Holy of Holies, and he had to enter in by way of blood. He had to take some blood of bulls, goats, or heifer, and he had to apply it to the mercy seat. He had to apply it to the altar. Their blood had to be shed in order for him to be able to go in. But thank God that we have a Savior whose blood is not the blood of bulls and goats and calves, but his blood was sufficient. It was good. Once and for all, he was able to shed his blood and present it before the actual mercy seat in heaven, where he sits on the throne of God, ever living to make intercession for you and me. And there the power of the blood still is going forth. Today, as we speak, the blood is going forth. Its power is still going forth. It has power to forgive, power to cleanse, power to heal, power to deliver, power to destroy the works of darkness. And you and I, we have been granted access to come before the very throne of God into the Holy of Holies, where God's throne is, where the angels there, where there's a rainbow around the throne, where there's the glassy sea, the 24 elders, where there's praise and worship, where there's lightnings and thunderings and smoke going forth. You can come with confidence before the throne of God simply because of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. That is a benefit. Anytime you need, you can come before the Almighty. You need something made in your life? You can come before the Creator. You need to be healed? You can come before the Healer. You need joy? You can come before the Joy Giver. You need peace? You can come before the Prince of Peace. Because of the blood of Jesus. Glory to God. Say, I am confident. I can approach God I can approach my Father. I can approach His throne with boldness because of what Jesus did for me. That's what gives you confidence, because it's not your work. You're not putting trust in yourself. You're putting trust in Him. So whatever you need, come before the throne. What's before the throne? There's grace and there's mercy when you need it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I want to get to where we can apply the blood. Ephesians chapter 2. Chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. He says, remember that you were at that time separated. You were living apart from Christ, excluded from all part in Him, utterly estranged and outlawed from the rights of Israel as a nation, and strangers with no share in the sacred compacts of the messianic promise, with no knowledge of or right in God's agreements or His covenants. And you had no hope, no promise. You were in the world without God. But, everybody say but. But now, everybody say now. Right now, not tomorrow. Not next week, but right now. Because it's already been done. It's a done deal. Jesus is, He's already paid the price. He's already, He's taken you out to the world's best buffet with the finest foods. He's already paid your bill. All you have to do is pull up to the table, put your napkin on, get your fork and knife in hand, and dig in. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once, who were so far away, through the blood of Christ, have been brought near. Hallelujah. For He Himself is our peace. He made us both one body, and has broken down the hostile dividing wall between us by abolishing in His own flesh the enmity caused by the law with its decrees and ordinances, which He annulled, that He from the two might create in Himself one new man, so making peace. See, it's never fun to be separated from God. You don't want to be on the outside looking in. Boy, those Christians are just having so much fun. I wish I could be there. You can. Because today is the day of salvation. But now, in Christ Jesus, you have been brought near. You have been given access. You have been given the key to the penthouse suite in heaven. You've been given the key, and you can go there anytime you need. You've been brought near by the blood of Jesus. In other words, He bridged the gap. You know, if God before you, who can be against you, right? Well, in order for God to be before you, you got to be on His side. Amen? God has made it possible for you to join His team. Hallelujah. You don't have to be separated anymore. You don't have to be frustrated anymore. You don't have to be depressed anymore. Does that mean that every day is going to be good? No. But that means that you've got power now within you to get through anything that you face. I remember a church sign one time. It said, Jesus never said it was easy, but He did say it was worth it. Go with me to Revelation 12. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. One more benefit, then I got to get to the application. How do we apply the blood of Jesus? How many overcomers do we have in here today? Amen. Notice what this says, verse 11, Revelation 12, 11. And they have overcome, everybody say, have overcome, him by means of the blood of the Lamb and the utterance of their testimony. For they did not love and cling to the life, even when faced with death. They had to die for their witnessing. Hallelujah, we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. What's your testimony? I'm washed in the blood. I'm cleansed in the blood. Therefore, devil, you can't mess with me. Therefore, devil, you give back what you've stolen. Therefore, sickness, you've got to leave this body. Therefore, depression, you've got to be replaced with joy. When you understand that you have been cleansed with the blood of Jesus, it is not by works. It is not by who you know or what family you came from or what side of the tracks you came on. It is simply by what Jesus Christ has done. You put your faith in Christ and therefore it takes the burden off of you. It'll make you downright cocky in a good way. In a good way. Not arrogant, but bold. When the devil tries to mess with you, you don't have to fear. You can say in the name of Jesus, and he'll be like, whoa. Do you realize that when a baby Christian says the name of Jesus, that demons tremble? You want their knees to knock? Just say Jesus. And their knees will tremble. Amen? Now, I want to go with me to Genesis chapter 17. We have talked about the different benefits that the blood gives us. Cleansing, redemption, a purging, a release, peace and harmony with God. And did you know that the blood is the sign of a covenant? And how many know that God is a faithful God? What He said He will do, He will do. Period. Now, if you want Him to do it for you, you just believe. You hook up with it. You hold on to it. You grab hold of it. And He'll do it for you. But God is going to do what He said He was going to do, irregardless if you believe or not. Genesis chapter 17. Abram here was 99 years old. And let's look at, we'll go to verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am the Almighty God. Walk and live before me and be perfect or blameless or wholehearted. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Everybody say multiply. Anytime God speaks of His covenant, He speaks of multiplication, increase. Verse 3, then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of many nations. Nor shall your name any longer be Abram, which means high exalted father, but your name shall be Abraham, which means father of a multitude. For I have made you the father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make the nations of you. Kings will come from you. Verse 7, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting solemn pledge to be a God to you and your posterity after you. And I will give to you and your posterity after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Verse 9, and God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall therefore keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout my generations. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your posterity after you, every male among you shall be circumcised. Now, circumcision, it speaks of removing some flesh. There's blood involved. See, sometimes there's when we come to God, there's things that have to be removed from us. There's things that have to be cut away. See, now I used to prune trees. I got paid to climb trees. It was no monkey business, but it was a great job. And I understand what pruning does to a tree. Not topping, but pruning. Where you surgically remove dead, twisted, out of place limbs. And when you do that, the tree will experience more growth than it had before. See, what happened in Abram? He experienced a change with God. He was no longer known as exalted father. Now he was known by a new nature called the father of a multitude. He was now known as Abraham. He had a change of name representing a change of life. Because if any man be in Christ, the Bible says, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And when Jesus came to die on the cross, he established a new covenant. Not that the old one was bad, but it was limited. And he summed up the Ten Commandments into two. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And see, this circumcision, this cutting away of the foreskin, this removing the reproach was a sign of the covenant that God made with Abraham. Do you know how powerful that covenant is? We are still under that covenant today. Let me just read to you a scripture to prove my point. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. He said, and if you belong to Christ, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What promise? The promise that he made with Abraham. He'll promise to increase you. He'll promise to multiply you. And see, that covenant is still in effect today because we are sons and daughters of Abraham by faith. And so the sign of the covenant was blood. How many know the story of Rahab? She was a prostitute in the city of Jericho. And when God had given Israel the land, he gave them Jericho as the first city. It was a great walled city. The walls were as thick as they were high. And Joshua sent spies to spy out the land, and they came to Jericho. And Rahab, she recognized things about God. She says, I know your God. I heard how he dried up the Jordan. I heard how he opened up the Red Sea. And she helped them. And in turn, she wanted to save her and her family. You know what she put out the window as a sign? She hung a scarlet cord. It speaks of the blood of Jesus. By faith, she had faith in the blood of Jesus. And as she hung that scarlet cord out there, when the Israelites came into Jericho to destroy the city, they saw that scarlet cord and everybody in that building, everybody that was covered by that scarlet cord was kept safe and kept alive. They were delivered. And you'll find that throughout all the Bible. The blood covenant. David and Jonathan, they entered into a covenant, and normally when they did that, they would cut their hands and they would mingle blood. That means they were blood brothers. They entered into a covenant. That means what is yours is mine, and what is mine is yours. And when we enter into a blood covenant with God, what is his is ours, and what is ours is his. That means when the devil messes with you now, he's not only messing with you. He's messing with God. He's messing with your brother, Jesus. He's messing with the kingdom of God. And you know, when the big brother shows up, you get a little bit more confident. When the enemy comes out and you know your big brother's there, you say, bring it on, man, bring it on. But see, blood was a sign of the covenant. And anywhere God saw the blood, that spoke of victory. Go with me to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. We'll just start with verse 1. Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, Egypt is always representative of the world or the world system. Okay? It's where they were enslaved. It's where they had forced labor. It's where they were oppressed. Because they were multiplying, and the devil wanted to keep them from multiplying, so he made them slaves. This month, verse 2, shall be to you the beginning of months, the first month of the year to you. Tell the congregation of Israel, on the 10th day of this month, they shall take every man a lamb or kid, according to the size of the family of which he is the father, a lamb or kid for each house. And if the household is too small to consume the lamb, let him and his next door neighbor take it according to the number of persons, every man according to what each can eat, shall your count for the lamb. Your lamb or kid shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it from the sheep or the goats. I just want to interject here. When John the Baptist was baptizing in Jordan and Jesus came on the scene, he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus fulfilled every part of the requirement of the lamb necessary to cover the house. Verse 6, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill his lamb in the evening. So there's the shedding of blood, the killing of the lamb. They shall take of the blood and put it on two side posts, and on the lintel above the door of the house in which they shall eat the Passover lamb. So once they killed the lamb, they had to take the blood and they had to apply it on this side and on this side and on over. It covers the spirit, the soul, and the body, the three-part man. God redeemed you wholly, spirit, soul, and body. He sanctified you. He cleansed your spirit, your soul, and your body. Now, your spirit is instant, but your soul and body have to play catch-up. Your mind has to be renewed, and your body has to be subdued in order to catch up with what already has taken place in the spirit. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted, cleansed by fire. With unleavened bread and bitter herbs shall they eat it. The bitterness reminded them of the slavery of where they came from. Verse 9, eat not of it raw nor boiled at all with water, but roasted its head, its legs, and its inner parts. You shall let nothing of the meat remain until the morning, and the bones and unedible bits which remain of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And you shall eat it thus, as fully prepared for a journey, your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. It was the first fast meal. Fast food, that's what I was thinking of. They had to eat it. It was like a drive-thru. You had to eat it with your shoes on, your coat. You're ready to go out the door. Talk about eating and running. Because they were prepared to be, they were going to cross over. They were going to be broken out of slavery. They were going to be crossed over from death to life. From slavery to freedom. For I will pass through the land of Egypt, verse 12, this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. The blood shall be for a token or a sign to you upon the doorposts of the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. No plague shall be upon you to destroy you. When I smite the land of Egypt, hallelujah, when the blood is applied to your heart, when you put it on the doorpost of your heart and the destroyer comes and he sees the blood there, he says, I got to pass over. I can't get in. I can't penetrate the bloodline. I can't cross the blood. The blood is like a shield. The blood is like an impenetrable fortress. The destroyer could not get past the blood. He had to go over the blood. He had to bypass the blood. Wherever the blood was, destruction could not come. Wherever the blood was, there was safety. There was peace. Wherever the blood was, it had to be applied. How do you apply the blood? Well, you have to have faith in the blood. You have to be fully persuaded that Jesus is who he was. He did what he said he was going to do, and he is capable of giving it all to you. You've got to believe that you are a recipient of the love of God. You've got to have faith in the blood. How do you know they had faith? Because they killed the lamb, they roasted it, and they applied the blood to the doors. Then you've got to honor the blood. You've got to respect the blood. Anything that means you've got to respect your brothers and sisters. Husbands, you've got to respect your wives. Wives, you've got to respect your husbands. Why? You don't mess with anything covered under the blood. You regard it as holy, as clean, as pure. You honor the blood. You have faith in the blood. Then you've got to surrender yourself wholly. Well, see, God, I'll give you 2/3 of me. You can have my spirit, God, but don't take my mind or my body. That's mine. People who aren't surrendered wholly run into problems. Do you realize that Jesus had such a conviction that not only was he led to the cross, but that conviction sustained him while he was on the cross? He freely, willingly laid down his life for others. What gives value to the cross? Self-sacrifice. Jesus, who was God, he is 100% God, he is 100% man. But when he came as a man, he did not act like God. He totally submitted to the Father. The life of self-sacrifice gives value to the cross. And see, that's where the power of the blood comes from. The Spirit of God inhabits the blood, and the blood operates by the Spirit's power. And here in the Old Covenant, they put the blood. It's a type and a shadow of what we need to do today. We need to apply the blood of Jesus to our hearts. You need to read about the blood. That's why We have all these benefits. This is what the blood does for us. When you read these things, what happens? Faith comes to your heart. Say, it's mine. Say, it's mine. One more time, say, it's mine. That's what means putting the faith in the blood. That's what it means applying the blood of Jesus to your heart. Whatever God said you can do, you say, I can do. Whatever he said you can have, say, I can have. Whoever he says you can be, he says, that's who I am. I am no longer what the world says. I am no longer what my feelings say. I am no longer what my parents say. I am no longer what my boss says, what this person says, what that person. I am what the Word of God says I am. That's what, how we put our faith in the blood of Jesus. You walk and you live as a child of God according to the Word of God. Because didn't he give them instructions? They could have not followed those instructions. I could hear a conversation. Honey, did you put the blood on the door? I forgot to put the blood on the door. I thought you were going to put the blood on the door. It's not anybody else's responsibility to apply the blood to your heart but yours. Fact of the matter is, God said, I'm going to kill all the firstborn in Egypt. The only way you're going to be safe is if you put the blood on the doorposts of your heart. The only way you're going to be, and see, here's the thing. Our weaknesses do not nullify the power of the blood. Your weaknesses can't hinder the power. The power of the blood is eternal. It's forever. It's everlasting from everlasting. It's not based on your weakness. There's power there, whether you're weak or strong. I got to read the scripture in Mark chapter 15. Mark 15. And then I'm closing. Mark 15. Verses 38 and 39. Once his blood was shed, and once he was on the cross, verse 37, Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed out his life, and a centurion, and the curtain of the Holy of Holies of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw him expire this way, he said, really, this man was God's son. All of a sudden now, this centurion who may have shared in nailing him to the cross, who may have shared in whipping him, who may have shared in mocking him, who may have shared in criticizing him, he had a revelation once he saw what Jesus went through, how he reacted on the cross, how he kept his love, how he died on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This centurion had a revelation. Surely, this is God's Son. You want to have faith in the blood? Say that. Say, surely. Jesus is God's Son. Jesus is for me. His power is my power. His strength is my strength. His love is my love. His peace is my peace. His joy is my joy. Hallelujah. That's putting faith in the blood. That's applying the blood of Jesus to your heart. That is walking in the revelation that the blood still has its power. It'll cause you to enter into a new season of grace. Hallelujah. There is power in the blood. There is still, it has not lost any power. It still has the ability to save. It still has the ability to cleanse. It still has the ability today to heal. It's still just as powerful as it was when Jesus was walking the earth and he would touch people. That power would go into them and it would bring about a change. It would cause a miracle. There's power in the blood today in the name of Jesus. I get a little excited about the blood. I'm excited about what God has done for me. He took this old sinner. I'm no longer an old sinner, but I'm a new creature. I've been born again. I've been washed in the blood. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost, and he's changed my life. Hallelujah. And he can change yours today too. All it takes is trust, believing in him, and surrendering your life to God. In the name of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we just give you thanks and praise for the power of your blood. Oh, Father, your blood is so precious. It's so valuable. It's so priceless. And it was shed for us. Thank you, Father, for sending Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for living a perfect life, dying a tragic death, and raising from the dead, and giving us another comforter, your Holy Spirit, who is here abiding with us forever, in the name of Jesus.